It doesn't.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News, radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. Since the Federal Communications Commission switched off analog television signals 6 years ago, there has been much debate and discussion about the best uses of the frequencies and when and how auctions should take place. Now there's a proposal to use vacant UHF TV channels for unlicensed TV white space devices and wireless microphones. The Comlaw blog reports a notice of proposed rulemaking has been filed with comments on the proposal taken through August 3rd, with reply comments due by August 31st. You can go to newsroom.free103.9.org or newsroom.wgxc.org for a link to the FCC website where you can file your comments. Use proceeding numbers 15-146 and 12-268. This is Tom Rowe for Waveform Radio and WGXC. That was Uk P epic waltz from mandolinist Chris Thiel and Michael Daves. Paste magazine reports that Thiel will take over as the host of the live radio variety show Prairie Home Companion next year, when the host of 40 Years, Garrison Keillor, retires in 2016. The show is distributed by American Public Media on most public radio stations in the United States. Thiel plays mandolin in the acoustic trio Nickel Creek and the bluegrass quintet The Punch Brothers, and has been a frequent guest on the show, guest hosting twice. Keillor was quoted saying, quote, "Chris is my man and I'm eager to stay home and read books," unquote. Last year for PBS NewsHour, Keillor spoke about radio.
I think there's a lot of power in listening to one person talking to you, and this should never be underestimated. There are movies made, enormous amounts of money invested in them, and they're very diffuse, and they're very artistic, and edited and post-produced, and jumping from here to there, and complicated narratives, and so on. But one person sitting and talking to you, and you're pulled in ways that technology and art and all cannot. We want to be talked to.
Morse code, the signals of dots and dashes that served as the first transmissions in the days before wireless, is still around, though not employed much these days. In 2003, the World Radio Conference stopped requiring Morse proficiency for amateur operations on frequencies below 30 megahertz. The FCC used to require it in the U.S. too, but now few master the dots and dashes. The Radio Arts website in the U.K. currently features sound artist Iris Garalf's Morse Code Choir, first aired on Resonance 104.4 FM London in March 2015 for the Borealis Festival Bergen and Radiophrenia CCA Gallery Glasgow. Let's hear a little excerpt. Thank you. For those who do not know Morse code themselves, there's a website, epxx.co/morse, where you can type in any sentence, like this one, and hear it in Morse code. All right, we're here with Zach Poff, and we're listening to Pond Station, is it called?
It is Pond Station.
And tell the listeners what Pond Station is. What are we listening to?
Pond Station is a platform for translating some of the phenomenon from a pond that we usually can't hear with our ears, and to make that something that we can experience without having to be under the water. So it's a sculpture that's floating on top of the pond right now, out the window, and it has hydrophones that dip down.
If you're listening, it's to your left.
And the hydrophones dip down into the water, and what we're hearing is a lot of the respiration of plants. We're hearing some bugs and I don't know what other stuff is down there, but now that I have...
What's that noise?
That little rhythmic sound? I don't really know. But now I hear it pretty often in the last couple of weeks. So now I can take this to some, you know, people who actually know these things and ask them.
It could be a particular kind of fish or a frog or...
Maybe. I mean, I think most fish communicate more in the ultrasonic range.
More telepathy?
Definitely. it could be frogs. It could be... I have a hunch a lot of it is insects, insects that are, you know, what is that called, stridulation, where they rub their legs together, and these little thorny parts of their legs make these crackling noises, like crickets. You can also hear traffic going by.
Yeah, how much of the sound is you think is from above the... explain what microphones or hydrophones or what is picking up the sound first?
Sure. So a hydrophone is an underwater mic. It's in this case it's a piezoelectric transducer, which is the same kind of thing you put on an acoustic guitar. Like a contact mic is another name for it. And so that translates the vibration of objects into sound that you can hear. And in this case, it's got a little air gap inside of it, kind of like a bubble. And then there are these transducers on either side. And as the vibrations in the water are squishing and contracting...
the air inside?
Yeah, basically. It's pushing against the pillow of air, and that provides this sort of spring that gives you the relief that you need to get sound to come out. So essentially, it's only responding to... sound under the water, but a lot of the sound from the air vibrates the water also. And we're pretty shallow. It's only maybe 3 feet into the water. A lot of times the most interesting sounds I found are in these habitats that are in between two other kinds of areas. You know, so as you have these like grasses and reeds and stuff that grow up to the edge of the pond, then when you go down in the first couple feet of water, you get a lot of sunlight. So you get all these, like, you know, algae and things are growing in there. And there's a lot of food there, so there's all kinds of activity there. Whereas if you go a little deeper, you get a different kind of activity, and in this case, not as much. There's a lot going on.
He was
on
playing
right now.
A song or something there.
Yeah, it's polyrhythms.
Right now he's a little bashful.
He knows we're listening. Yeah, that there's a sound recordist, composer, acoustic ecology angle to this, in the sense that these things are available now at the studio here, as well as online, and you can kind of mine these things and use them as triggers to do other things with. I can imagine an installation of some kind where every time one of these loud events happens, it's triggering some physical thing to happen in space.
You're trying to make slaves out of the animals in the pond.
Make
sound
them,
slaves.
They could be our muse. That's how I like to look
at it. Orchestra.
Yeah, or we could be the orchestra and they could be the conductor. That's one way to think of it.
Explain a little how well or not well water, how sound waves move through water.
Yeah, sound moves faster in water and to some extent more efficiently. We wouldn't know that because our ears are so tuned to work in air that the stiffness and the incompressibility of water is a real challenge for our ears. So when we stick our heads under the water, we don't hear what we're hearing now through this feed. But what the hydrophones are able to do is more closely match what we call the impedance or the sort of natural springiness of the water. They're basically harder than our eardrums. That was a big truck going by. It's interesting because here in the studio, we got the windows open and I can hear in real time when a truck goes by.
The truck went by and then we heard a second later the truck passed. Yeah, the pond is a little further down the road. And
well, are we listening to the web stream?
Yeah, so it's also
so
a little
it's
later.
Yeah. So we hear it through our mics and through our ears right here live in the studio, and then we also hear a kind of transformed version of it 30 seconds later. So one of the things that's nice about this piece is that it's a constantly changing resource. So during the day, a lot of the sounds you hear are based on things like sunlight, right? Like I was saying before, there's a lot of plant respiration. There's a lot of things that involve food chains that start with the sun. So when it's really cloudy for more than an hour or so, things quiet down a lot and different kind of sounds emerge. And at night, it gets very quiet and almost all of the bubbling sounds that you hear go away, but some of the rhythmic sounds, which are like that, like tuck, 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 some of those things stick around at night.
And you'll hear it with it's solar powered. So is it going to last all night?
It doesn't. The way it's set up right now is it runs during the day. Then when it thinks that night has fallen, then it switches to like a countdown. And it still runs, but it only runs for maybe an hour or an hour and a half, provided that the batteries are still looking good. And then in the morning, it'll notice that the light has come up again, and it'll turn itself back on for that full day. So it does run into the night, but not, there's nothing happening at like midnight.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.